It is indeed good to see each of you here this morning. I have a few visitors, as mentioned before, and we're thankful for your presence here. We hope that if you have any questions and anything you might hear here this morning or that we have done here this morning that you'll ask, you can ask me, ask one of the members here, and we'll be glad to show you in the way that which we do these things and why we do them. We just try to copy the church that Jesus established and do the exact same things that the first Christians did. Not adding to it, not taking away from it, but doing exactly what God has commanded us to Him and bringing glory and honor to Him. And yesterday evening, we had a young people's outing. We're going to talk about them young folks this morning. No, we're not going to talk about everything we did. We don't want you to know about everything we did. Thinking about young people this morning, and the word young, it could be a last name. It is relative, this idea of young. This morning, I want you to think, hey, if you feel young, you feel like you're a young person, this is for you. If you feel like you're an old person, you're wrong, you're young. This is for you as well. Of course, thinking about young people and young people and the commands which they are given, we think about, or I do anyhow, 1 Timothy chapter 4. The book of Timothy is a letter to Timothy written by Paul. And Paul is writing to Timothy as the old preacher talking to a young preacher. We have comment to be inserted, as you may want to, talking to a young preacher. That's all I got to say about it. Keep this in mind as we look at these verses this morning. You know, I say that jokingly, but everything that Brother Robert has been able to share with me and show me, I feel like, man, that's exactly what Timothy's got to feel like when Paul writes to him and when he gets to go meet with Paul and talk with Paul, and I am grateful for it. And I thank you. I don't think I thank you enough, but I genuinely do. It's very helpful. And I hope that everything that we're able to do, we will be able to glorify God in it. But we want to look this morning, keep in mind, the old guy's talking to the young guy, and this is what you ought to do. These are the things that you need to do. So as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, the New King James Version, the King James Version, the literal translation of the Bible, American Standard, they pretty much all say the same thing. Let no one despise your youth. Or let no man despise your youth. The New International Version, though, puts it a little bit more clearly to me of what Paul is really trying to tell Timothy. And he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Paul tells Timothy, don't let anybody look down on you just because you're a young person, just because you have youth. Don't give them a reason. Don't give them an excuse to look down on you, to look at you like, oh, just a young punk, just a little young snotty-nosed kid, just a young little snotty-nosed teenager, doesn't have anything to do. Don't give them that reason. Don't let them look at you that way. Do things that make them where they say, do things where they can't say those things about you. So that means you might have to sit up in the pew. That means you might have to sit up straight, look at the screen, listen to the preacher, participate in the singing, pay attention with the prayer, follow along in the scripture reading, put down the iPad and the phone and the Game Boy and put down the coloring book. There is a certain age when all those things are appropriate, but sometimes we tend to carry them on a little bit further. And our kids are the ones that are suffering from it. And young people, if you're able to hear this and you're doing some of those things, put it up. Don't give them a reason to look down on you. Don't let old people go, ah, he's just a young kid. He don't know no better. So if you're able to hear this, put it down. Don't let anybody look down on you. Don't let anybody look at you like you're just a young kid. Don't give them a reason. Don't give them an excuse. That's what Paul tells Timothy starting out in verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But Set an example. But set an example. Be an example, young people. Paul telling Timothy, you, young Timothy, can be an example for the believers. For all the believers. He's not saying you can be an example to your peer group. He's not saying you can be an example for your parents. He's not saying you can be an example for your family. He is saying you are to be an example for the believers, for all the believers. A lot of times we preach and we teach that the older folks, you need to be mindful. You need to watch out because the young folks are watching you. Those little kids are watching you. And I heard that all the time in high school. As a high school student, they said, now when you walk through that middle school, all those middle schoolers are looking up to you and they say, well, I want to be like so-and-so. They look up to the older people. And Paul tells Timothy, don't let it just be that way. You, as a young person, be a shining light. Be an example. Set a pattern forth for the older folks to follow you. And how are you going to do that? Paul continues on and tells him, in speech, conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. We're going to look at each one of these this morning. In speech, in the words that you use, Timothy, be an example. Think about what you're going to say, and then say it. Think about how you're going to talk. Paul also told Titus in chapter 2, verse 8, speaking of the same thing, be of soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. Speak soundly. Speak boldly. Speak with authority. Speak as one who has studied the Scriptures. Think about the words that you've got to say. Don't let anybody look down on you because of the way you talk. Be an example in the way that you talk. There's been times in my life where I've used words or said things that, man, as soon as I thought somebody heard me, I thought, that was a bad time, Matt. So why even do it all together? Why even use some words all together? Is there any point into it, or does it really just show a lack of, or not a lack of ignorance, but a strong abundance of ignorance on your part because you can't think of any better adjectives to be said or to be used? Be of sound speech. Be of thoughtfulness of how you say things, of what you say and how you say them. See, Paul also knew of how important it was to have speech, not only for Timothy and for Titus, but himself also. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, he asked them to pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. See, Paul knew words are important. Speech is important. The things you say, important. So we need to be an example in our speech. Conduct, character. This goes a little bit further than the speech. It's every way that you express yourself. How you act, how you react, how you conduct yourself among people. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. When people hear your name, when people hear the name Matt Lanham, I think, do they think that's a good man? That's a godly man. That's a good husband. That's a good father. Do they hear my name and they go, that's a sorry scoundrel I want nothing to do with? When they hear your name, what do they think? They think that's somebody who has character. That's someone that has integrity. That's someone that cares about the way they do things and the way things are done. The old saying, character is the way you act when you think no one is looking. How are you going to act? How have you molded yourself to conduct yourself and your daily walks of life to be an example? Be that example in what you speak, the words you use, and be an example into what, how you say it. This idea of conduct, character, includes that body language. That body language that you have when you speak. And what do you mean by that? Well, here's you an example. I can speak very well without saying any words. Here's you an example. If you listen to this online, there's going to be silence. You're going to think this is weird. All right, here we go. You ready? What am I? Happy? Sad? Upset? I was telling my wife that I love her. Y'all got that wrong. See, you, just because you pick the right words to say, it doesn't really get you anywhere if you've got the wrong body language to go along with it. That's real interesting right there. Yeah, I'm really intrigued by what you got to say. You don't act that way, do you? You haven't conducted yourself. You haven't had that character that expresses not only the words that are being said, but the way that you say them. Going further than just saying, you know, yeah, I love you, brother. That's great. Love you. See you later. If you need anything, if there's anything that I can do, let me know. Because I love you. And that's why I want to do those things. So there's a difference there, isn't it? There's a difference. I said the same thing. I said I love you. But it's the way I said it. Be an example in your conduct, in your character, and be an example in love, in charity. In the ways that you love, Paul tells Timothy to be an example. And when you think about being an example and using the gifts, the talents that you have in a way which shows love, I think of 1 Corinthians 13 and mainly verses 1 through 13. If you don't know how many verses are in 1 Corinthians 13, there are 13. And we're going to look at those. And I won't speak very much more than what the passages have to say. It says, if I speak in tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. See, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now the greatest of these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul tells Timothy, be an example in your love, in how you love. Because love never ceases. Love never fails. Love conquers all things. It endures all things. It keeps no record of wrong. Paul told Timothy to show that love and that other people could look at you and follow your example of love. He says to be an example in spirit. A better attitude. Now it's not only doing the right thing, but it is doing the right thing with the right attitude and bringing glory to God. You see, the way our spirit changes, the way that we ought to have a spirit of fullness and betterness of not unlike a child. And what I mean by that is unlike a child, a child may get a gift, a card, a present, whatever it may be. And you as a parent may say, now what do you tell them? What do you tell them? Thank you. That's right. You tell them thank you. Now come back. See, but when we have that example of spirit, that child is gradually moving toward being thankful, having a spirit of thankfulness that we go, you get it. You get the idea of people giving you something and how that is a blessing to you. Timothy was told to be an example in his spirit that what he changes, he has the attitude that everyone would want to follow. The right attitude, doing the right things with the right attitude. And that we could glorify God in those things. Faith. Young Timothy was told to have a faith that could be an example to old and young alike. Be that example to those people. Just as the example was set before Timothy, he knew of the people of old. The ones who spoke about in Hebrews 11. Of Noah, how he had faith. Of Moses. We talk about all of these people that have this great faith. And Paul is saying, Timothy, you be included in that group. You be included in that group of people of great faith. That people could see your faith and that could be a pattern and an example for other people to follow. Even though we are young people. Even though we're young, our dedication and steadfastness and faith can be an inspiration, an encouragement, the example to all those about us. That we could be an example in our faith that people could go, man, I want to have a faith like Matt. Do I have that kind of faith that is steadfast and that it will endure? That it's a dedication? Or do I have a faith that's wavering to and fro? Timothy was told to be an example in his faith. And the last one, impurity. Impurity. Be genuine. Be sincere. Have integrity. Now you could preach the greatest sermon in the world, but you don't do it with purity. You don't do it out of a genuine care. You're not moved by love. Then people know that that's wasteful. You didn't do it with the right intentions. You just wasted your time. You just wasted their time because the evidence of the heart, the motives of the heart always shine through. The word, the Greek word hygienia, means purity in all of life. So in every way, keep pure. Timothy, be an example in purity. In all things and in every way, be pure, be clean. As you have risen up out of the watery grave of baptism to be cleaned, to be washed, to be made white as snow, maintain that purity. Not only in the building and in the Christian kingdom, but to be pure in all walks of life. That people can see all of those things that you do, the words you use, the conduct that you have, the love that you have, the spirit that you have, the faith that you have, and they go, I want part of that. That people of the world see you and they think, what a great young man, what a great young woman that is. The motives of the heart, always, beyond the shadow of doubt, they will always shine through. If you do things for the wrong reason, even though it may be the right thing, people see that. People know that. So we have finished 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Be that example that people can see you and follow the things that you do. Verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through the prophecy when the body of the elders laid their hands on you. Paul didn't tell Timothy, I just want you to go out and I want you to hope and pray that everybody follows you, that everybody respects you and will follow your leadership. Now, Paul told Timothy, you go do these things, people won't doubt you. You go do these things, and people will want to follow you. You go out and you do these things, you earn their respect. You earn the fact that they want to follow you, and you keep it. Devoting yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. And I know we can certainly throw in to praying in there. Paul tells Timothy, you earn it, you keep what they want. Keep them following you. He says, do not neglect your gift. Now, this neglect is not saying a rebellion, rebellious behavior against your gift. It's not saying that. It's saying, neglecting is saying you're not nurturing it. You're not letting your gift grow. You're not giving it what it needs. You're not giving the time that that gift needs so it can be fully developed. And we should all not neglect the gifts that we have. Whatever gift, whatever talent that you have, if you neglect it, it's going to be wasted. And neglecting your gift is just as bad as rejecting the gift, because what you're doing in a sense is saying, I don't really want it. I don't really need it anyhow. By neglecting and not nurturing your gift. Well, I think I might have a gift of being able to write a card. Well, I tell you what, some people, they can write me a card and it's just, I'm not saying I'm not thankful, but some people can write a card a whole lot better than some other ones. I can't write a card at all. Worth 2 cents. Not any count. But I can get a card from some of you and it's just the words jump off the page. It feels like you're talking right to me. You're speaking here right in front of me. And I can tell that's somebody that hasn't neglected their gift. That they've spent time nurturing it, that it grows into such a thing that brings happiness to the reader. You have some kind of gift. You have some kind of talent. Don't neglect it. Don't not give it the proper attention that it needs, that it may grow. Paul tells Timothy to be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. He didn't tell him to, Timothy, you go out there and just, you'll make it, man. You'll be okay. No, he says you devote yourself wholly to them. Devote yourself to these matters. Don't give it partial. Don't just put in a little bit. You give it all you got. Don't stop. You keep giving it. You give all you got, 100%. The best that you can do. Your very best. Why? So that when everyone sees your progress, they'll want to be like you. Well, if he can do it, if she can do it, I can too. Be diligent in these matters. Be conscious. Be on purpose. Spend time with them that you may give yourself wholly to those things. Move on along. Verse 16. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You're doing good. You're being that example. But don't get proud about it. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Be on guard. Take heed. Watch out. Don't boast in yourself. Don't, Don't begin to be arrogant in what you're doing, Timothy. You're doing good things. You're starting to be that example. And when you become that example, don't quit. Don't look at it and go, yeah, look what I did. Look at what I've got this church building to be. Look at what I've got this group to be. I did all that. Paul's telling Timothy, you don't be like that. Watch your life. Watch what you preach. Watch what you teach. Take heed. Watch out. Copy yourself. Do the same thing that got you here over and over and over again. There's no need to change. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. That's it. He's going to always be the same. Copy yourself, Timothy. Just keep repeating those things. Stay fired up. Stay fired up and grow. Some people think that growing as a Christian means growing old and growing cold and just being burnt out. I don't have it no more. Timothy, you don't lose that fire that got you here. Don't lose that zeal that you have. You keep it going. If you keep doing all of those things that got you here and you repeat and repeat all of those things, your fire won't burn out. And as young people becoming a young Christian, sometimes you get so burnt out because the world all around you is just beating down on top of you and doing all of these terrible things. You're just, what's the point? Why keep going? Because we're to be an example. That's why you need to keep going. Because we're to be an example. And being diligent in those matters not only saves ourselves, but save all those who hear us. They save all those who hear what we have to say, that see what we do, that see how we act and how we react. Are you here this morning and you're not a Christian? I tell you, if you're a young person and you're not a Christian, you're no kind of example that anyone should follow. If you're here this morning as a young person and you're not a Christian, no one needs to be following you. Because you're just, I don't care. You're not diligent. You don't have a purpose. If you're here this morning and you feel like, man, I've been thinking about that for a long time. I just don't know what to do. Well, if you've been thinking about it, well, obviously you've heard. If you've been thinking about it, obviously you believe. Obviously, if you think this something is, it's all right, I need to do this. This is something I want to do. Confessing the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, risen from the dead, and it is because of His sacrifice that I have hope of eternal life with God. That is through Him that I can become part of His body, the body of Christ. And you're willing to repent of your sins, to turn them away, to turn away from that life that you're living and say, I don't want any part of this anymore. I want to be better. I want to be like Christ. Up until now, all I've done is wasted my time on earth. But today, I'm turning around from those things. I'm not going to do those things anymore. And I'm going to become a Christian. Being baptized into the body of Christ and washing away your sins. Arising in newness of life. And becoming an example to all the believers. In what I say. And how I say it. In love. In faith, in purity. I'm going to be an example. If you're here this evening and you've grown, but that grow has been that grow old and grow cold, copy the things that you've done that got you when you were hot. You talk to people, they go, well, we've got marriage problems. Well, what made you fall in love in the first place? Just go back and do those things. You'll remember why you fell in love. If you became a Christian, you go back and go, man, I just feel burnt out. Go back to what got you over the edge, that got you up out of the pew, that made you come forward. Go back to those things and look at them that you could grow. You could stay fired up and stay encouraged. But if you're here this morning and you have any kind of need, well, whether it's to renew yourself to the body of Christ, or whether it's to become a Christian and join that body. We have this opportunity now where everything's prepared, everything's been, a time has been set aside for this to be done. An opportunity has now presented itself to you. And it's what you do with that opportunity that determines your soul. You think about those things as we stand and as we sing.